This is about Dominic, I realized. It wasn't hard to guess, since most of my issues with people stemmed from my involvement with Dominic. Not that I was, like, involved with Dominic, obviously. I know something is going on, Gemma. I can sense your anxiety. It pains me that you don't trust me enough to come to me. His eyes remained pinned on the road ahead. I trust you, Gabriel. I trust you with my life. I shook my head, unsure of how I could even begin to explain the mess I was in or why I'd kept it from him for so long. Is it about the amulet? He asked without meeting my stunned gaze. Are you in trouble?
What makes you say that?
I noticed a significant change in you right after your sister gave you the amulet.
His grip tightened around the steering wheel.
Is Dominic after it? Is he threatening you?
No. I lowered my gaze, staring down at my fingers. He's actually been protecting me.
From what?
I didn't answer.
Angel.
The word sounded like corrosive metal when it came out of his mouth. I couldn't bring myself to deny it or confirm it, deciding instead to see what kind of a reaction he had to it. He looked over at me with wise, knowing eyes.
I can't help you if you don't tell me what's going on,
he said pleadingly, like my safety, my life, genuinely mattered to him. I wanted so bad to talk to him, to confide in him, to tell him the truth about what's been going on. He deserved to know the truth. He deserved absolute transparency. He deserved so much more than what I'd been giving him. I couldn't risk it before. I couldn't risk Tessa finding out about it while Taylor was still missing. She would have completely bypassed her for the greater good of all, and there was no way I could allow that to happen. But Taylor was home now, safe and sound. What harm could it do?
He knows I have the amulet.
I felt a huge weight lift off my shoulders as the words passed through my lips. It was as though the shackles around my ankles had been broken, and all I could do was run like the wind with it. He's known since the spring fling dance.
Why didn't you come to me?
I was trying to take care of it on my own. I didn't want to involve anyone and risk getting more people hurt.
Do you have any idea of the danger you're in? How could you pretend everything was okay all this time?
He asked, looking at me as though I'd just taken off my mask.
How could you lie to me all this time?
I'm sorry that I lied to you, Gabriel. I am. But I've been pretending everything is okay since the day my father was killed. And today is no exception, I admitted solemnly. If I don't lie to myself, if I don't find ways to keep living my life in spite of everything, I wouldn't be able to get out of bed in the morning. He blinked slowly as though taking it in. I pretended it was all okay because I had to believe that it would be. I didn't meet his eyes when I continued. But it's not okay. Nothing is.
Has he come after you?
He asked, trying hard to hide the concern in his voice, but it was right there, looming just under the surface. I nodded that he had. I know he can't hurt me while I'm wearing the amulet, but that won't stop him from going after the people I love to get to me, I explained, trying to keep my emotions steady. That's why I have to get him first.
What is it with you, Blackburns?
He bit out angrily.
If it were that easy to take him out, someone would have already done it. He's powerful, Gemma. Far more powerful and cunning than you can ever imagine. You aren't ready to face a revenant like Angel. You aren't ready to face any revenant.
I've already faced him twice and lived to talk about it, I shot back, feeling the burn from his words and his lack of confidence in my abilities.
That is because you have the amulet, he said plainly.
Exactly! I have the amulet. Who better to face off against him than the girl that can't be killed?
I can think of several people.
I chose to ignore that. If I don't do something about it, he's just going to keep coming after me and my friends, picking us off one at a time until he gets what he wants. I can't let him do that, Gabriel. I have to stop him.
You can't do this on your own. I forbid it.
I'm not doing it on my own. Treece and Dominic are helping me.
I looked over at him before continuing.
You won't have to lift a finger. Just please don't tell Tessa about it.
I won't be involved in lying to her, said Gabriel firmly.
There were no ifs, ands, or buts about it.
Then don't lie to her, just don't tell her about it right away, I said, pretending there was a difference. Give me some time to fix this, Gabriel. I can do it. I know I can.
This is a bad idea.
He shook his head, still staring out at the road ahead of us.
No good will come out of this.
Something in the back of my mind was telling me he was right, but I quickly batted the irksome thought away. I was already in way too deep to turn back now.
I have everything under control. Trust me,
I assured him, though I really wasn't sure who I was trying to convince more, him or myself. 34. Great Temptations. Friday came, dressed in gloom, with a torrential downpour that smothered the town like a nightmare that couldn't be woken up from. There was a constant hissing in the air, a scratching taunt that gnawed at my insides, almost as though the wind were trying to reach out and caution me, to warn me of what was to come. My skin prickled from the presage. There was still no news about Angel. Ben, Treece, and Dominic had spent the night tracking his scent and following up with leads that led nowhere. There was absolutely no sign of Angel anywhere in town, nor any other Revs for that matter. It was as though they'd all just picked up and disappeared from Hollow Hills. Of course, I knew better than that. I knew the silence was surely just the quiet before the storm. Dominic picked me up after my shift at All Saints, ready to cash in on his end of our agreement. I was infinitely less enthused than he was for this date, and went into it with the mindset of just wanting to get the whole thing over with. Besides, it would give me a chance to catch up with him and find out if he'd heard anything from the old vampire grapevine. "Where are we going anyway?" I asked him when he turned onto the main highway instead of the throughway that would have taken us to the Huntington Manor. He turned his smoldering chocolate eyes to me and quirked his lip up on the side.
"It's a surprise," he said,
refusing to relinquish any clues as to what his plans for me were.
"Just sit back and enjoy the ride."
Right, as if that was even a possibility. I slouched back in my seat and watched the wiper slash back and forth as the slick road became a melted blur of scenic sameness. Seconds turned into minutes, and my eyelids became too heavy to keep open.
Angel?
I felt a poke on my arm and opened my eyes, fighting to bring myself out of the sleepy haze I drifted into. Realizing the car had stopped, I straightened in my seat and searched my surroundings for telling signs. "Where are we?" I asked, staring out at an unfamiliar dark brick building that appeared to be manned by two juice heads.
"Temptation," he smiled wickedly. "The most sinful drinking hole in all the lands."
"I'm not going in there," I protested, still cranky from having just woken up. "I'm not even legal," I reminded him.
"Need I remind you that this is my date, therefore my rules? Moreover, this isn't that sort of establishment. Your identification is not a prerequisite, Angel. In fact, they much prefer you come without it."
"What kind of a club doesn't want you to bring your ID?"
"The kind that doesn't want you leaving a trail of trouble."
"Oh, sure, because that sounded totally legit."
I rolled my eyes. "How long do I have to stay in there?"
"As long as it takes."
"As long as it takes to do what?"
"To break you out of your good girl shell."
He winked, though something in those dark, sinful eyes of his told me he wasn't joking.
I know there's a bad girl in there simply dying to break out, and I've decided to appoint myself as her unofficial freer. How very noble of you. Flashing a grin, he swung his door open and climbed out of the car, adjusting his black jacket and then coming around the front of the car. When he reached my side, he pulled open my door and held out his hand as though this were an actual date, as though he were some kind of gentleman. I passed on the offer and stepped out on my own instead. The rain was still falling, but I welcomed it, enjoying the cold wetness as it trickled down my skin in cleansing streaks. He quirked an eyebrow at me.
Are you always this stubborn?
Yes, I am, I answered, staring him dead in the eyes. And I'm also really moody, a hothead, and a liar.
Is that so?
He appeared to be smirking at my self-assessment.
You wouldn't be trying to sway my interest now, would you? Because I have to say, those sorts of things turn me on.
Irritated, I rolled my eyes at him again. Is there anything that doesn't turn you on?
Not when it comes to you, Temptress.
He ran the back of his knuckles against my cheek, searing my skin. I turned my face away from his touch, quickly breaking the connection. It's not going to work, you know.
What's that?
Trying to coerce the good out of me?
Is that a fact?
I'm nothing like you, Dominic, and I never will be.
Never say never, Angel.
He stepped in closer to me, prompting me to push back against the car door and suck in a breath.
I think you're a lot more like me than you'd ever care to admit. I can see it in those seductive eyes of yours.
See what?
The curious thirst for the darkness.
He pushed up against me, commanding, yet careful.
It's in your blood.
My hand instantly moved up between us, forcing him to reopen the space. You don't know the first thing about me, I bit out through gritted teeth. And you never will, as long as I have anything to say about it. The words had come out far angrier than I had intended them to, and even though it troubled me to see myself react that way, I wasn't yet primed to question it.
If you say so, Angel, he said, chuckling softly as though he knew he'd gotten under my skin. However, be warned.
About what?
About how much I enjoy a good challenge.
I walked into temptation with my expectations low and my guard all the way up. The club boasted two floors of fully stocked bars and a purple-lit ambiance that fell over the club like a blanket. Bodies moved wickedly, grinding against each other as they danced to the kind of music that sounded like a prelude to something more. There was sin in the air, and everyone appeared to be high on the fumes of it. I followed Dominic to a private table tucked away behind white organza curtains, feeling increasingly uneasy as I moved deeper into my own personal hell. There was something off about this place, something wrong, and it was making my skin burn with trepidation. Straightening my back, I put on my best resting bitch face and slid into the booth ahead of Dominic.
Something to drink, love?
He asked, gesturing over his shoulder like he was part owner of the joint. A blonde waitress with hair that reached all the way down to her round hips walked up to our table.
What can I get for you tonight, Dominic?
She knew him by name. Figures.
I'll have my usual.
And for your little friend?
She asked him with ridicule in her tone.
His little friend will just have water. I answered her, forcing her eyes to begrudgingly fall on me.
Bottled. I didn't trust this place. God only knows what kind of venereal diseases were floating around in the tap water. The waitress arched her brows and glanced back at Dominic like he had the final say.
She'll have the same as me.
No, I won't, I objected, but it was like I wasn't even in the room, let alone at the table. He gave her a cunning wink, and she smiled impishly at him before prowling off, swishing her hips from side to side like some sex-infused pendulum. I glowered at him. Are you this courteous with all your dates, or am I just the lucky one?
I don't have dates, Angel. I have liaisons.
Gross, Dominic. I don't even want to know what that means. Though I had a fairly good idea. He laughed, leaning back in the booth and then stretching his arms across the frame behind me.
Well, if you change your mind, I'd be more than willing to show and tell with you.
I'd rather set myself on fire, but thank you. I gave him a pointed look and then glanced out at the room, gauging our surroundings and company before focusing my attention back in on him. Have you heard anything from Angel?
Must we sour our date with business talk? We have plenty of time for that later.
In case you haven't noticed, I'm running out of laters, I said impatiently.
I haven't heard anything directly, though from what I've gathered thus far, he's vacated Hollow Hills until further notice.
For whatever reason, Angel was still gone and seemed to be keeping it that way. I felt my heart gallop with hope.
That isn't a good thing,
he quickly clarified, busting my bubble of happiness. Why not? I asked, baffled. Frankly, it was the best news I'd heard all month.
Because Angel doesn't give up. I'd say it means he's gone to gather reinforcements.
He placed his free hand on the table, palm down, as though rooting himself in the conversation.
Something big is coming, and I'm not sure I want to be around here when it all goes down.
I scoffed at his vow of abandonment. Thanks for the allegiance, Dominic. It's nice to know that when the going gets tough, you get gone.
It's a matter of self-preservation, love. You ought to think about getting out of here, too. You have the amulet. The blonde is safe and sound. I'd say it's about time you move on to greener pastures.
I can't just run off and save myself, Dominic. He'll go after the people I love.
And?
I glared back at him.
Ah, yes, of course. Attachments.
He tweaked his dark blonde eyebrows as though he were above it all.
They're far more trouble than they're worth, if you ask me.
You say that, yet here you are, I shot back. He looked at me strangely, though he didn't grace me with a rebuttal as the waitress returned with our drinks. She placed two glasses on the table, along with zero water bottles, and then left without a word to either of us. Dominic, like a predator that already had his prey cornered, never took his eyes off me. I straightened under his stare and trudged on. So, basically, you think Angel's gone to build his goon brigade because something big is coming, but we have no clue what that might be, I summarized, feeling more bleak than ever before.
Precisely.
I pushed out a gust of air, sending a lock of my hair fluttering in front of my face.
Relax, Angel.
He reached over and tucked the strand behind my ear, and I shivered from the brief contact, involuntarily. Damn blood bond.
I've already put the word out. Now it's just a matter of waiting to collect.
Again with the waiting game. Was he not getting the urgency of our little problem, or did he just not give an actual damn? Maybe he was onto something with the whole not caring about anyone or anything thing. Must be nice, I mused. Unfortunately, I didn't have that luxury. I shook away the reverie. Shouldn't we be out there, then, talking to people, to revs that might have heard something?
We aren't just here for the good malt, Angel. In case you haven't noticed, this place is a hotbed for supernaturals.
My eyes quickly darted around the room, surveying the alleged suspects. Maybe that was the reason I had felt uneasy the moment I walked in here. Apparently, I was on enemy territory, and somehow my body knew it before I did. I guess the cloaking spell really was fading after all.
Balls, said Dominic, his eyes narrowing into slits.
What is it? I asked as my pulse quickened. I could tell by the look on his face that something bad was headed our way. I turned around and tried to follow his pointed gaze, searching the room for what surely had to be Angel or his coven of rabid revs. What I found was far, far worse. Balls, I repeated, turning back to Dominic as Tessa and Gabriel zeroed in on our table, looking not surprised and wholly pissed off. How the hell was I going to explain this one away? The seconds ticked by like tepid tar. A moment later, an overbearing shadow loomed over our table.
Tessa, Gabriel, you're both looking well.
Get up right now, ordered Tessa, ignoring Dominic's greeting. Both of you. What's the hurry? Sit down, take a load off, enjoy a drink with us, answered Dominic, clearly enjoying the nuclear bomb that had just gone off in my life.
You look like you can use a drink. Possibly even two.
You have 2 seconds to get up before I feed your ass to that pack of werewolves at the back of the bar, she said without even looking. Dominic berated her with his laughter and was about to say something when I quickly jumped up from the table. Come on, Dominic, let's just go. I knew my sister well enough to know she wouldn't hesitate to make good on her threat. Plus, I really didn't want to face the firing squad on my own. He looked over at me for a moment and then nodded.
Very well, Angel, he said, finishing the rest of his drink and then standing. The things I do for you.
35. Highway to Hell.
The tension in the car was thick and suffocating, like the lies between us had manifested into something tangible. Neither Tessa nor Gabriel said anything to me on the drive back to Huntington Manor. I wanted to think that their silent treatment was simply the result of catching me out with Dominic, but something told me this was about far more than their disapproval of the company I'd been choosing to keep. Dominic's car was already parked in his driveway when we pulled up to the manor in Gabriel's black SUV. Breathing a sigh of relief that he didn't bail out on me, I got out of the car and followed Gabriel and my sister into the house, as my brain conjured up a dozen different reasons why the two of them were here, and exactly how much trouble I was going to be in. Sit down, ordered Tessa as we entered the den, her gray eyes as sharp as a sacrificial dagger. I flopped down on the red sofa and watched as Tessa moved around the room, locking the doors and drawing the curtains together as if to entomb us in our own coffin of privacy. I looked up at Gabriel, who was standing by the mantel, staring down at me in utter silence. His arms were crossed over his chest and his eyebrows were pulled together in disappointment. It was the same look he'd left me with the last time I saw him. I threw the disappointed look right back at him. You promised you wouldn't tell! The sting from his betrayal made my voice crack like a prepubescent kid.
She had to know, he answered mechanically. She's your sister, and I'm your handler. It's our duty and responsibility to keep you safe.
The fact that he didn't seem to have any remorse only made me angrier with him. I trusted you.
When are you going to learn, Angel?
Dominic took a swig of the drink he'd fixed himself before we arrived.
When it comes to Gabriel, it's always duty above all else. Right, brother?
Something you couldn't even begin to understand the meaning of, snapped Tessa, joining Gabriel by the broiling fire, her face draped in shadows as the flames danced behind her thin athletic frame.
The only person you give a damn about is yourself, you arrogant little. That's ironic, coming from you, Miss Missing in Action.
Tessa's arm lashed out through the air so quickly that I could have blinked and missed it. Luckily, Gabriel was ready for it, and much faster than her. He quickly clipped her wings midair before she had a chance to make contact with Dominic's face.
Stay focused, cautioned Gabriel. This is about Gemma.
Shaking out of his hold, she straightened her shirt and regained her composure. Her short, dark hair was pulled back into a ponytail, and even though it was hard to make out all her features in the dim light, she was still as beautiful as always. Furious, but still beautiful. Her thoughts turned inward,
darkening her expression. Okay, Tess, just come out with it, I said, raising my hands, ready to face her wrath. Tell me how reckless I was and how much trouble I've gotten myself into. Go on. But just so you know, I'm already aware of it, and I feel horrible. You feel horrible, she repeated. The way she said it made it sound like she was insulting me, mocking me with my own words. I should have told you about Angel. I made a mistake. I admit that, but I'm fixing it. You really have no idea what you've done, do you? The severity of her tone made me falter. This is so much bigger than Angel. She shook her head at me like I was completely clueless. They're coming for you, Gemma, and they're not going to stop until they get what they want. I was already well aware that Angel was gathering reinforcements, and I'd made my peace with it. In fact, I was depending on it. I'm kind of counting on that, Tess, I said, doing my best to show her I was still in control of this. I have the amulet, and as long as it stays around my neck, two things are certain. One, I'm protected. And two, Angel will come for me. Gemma. But he's never going to get it, and neither will any of the leeches he sends after me. I know what I have to do. I just need to get close enough to him to— Gemma! She shouted, startling my mouth shut. This isn't about Angel or the stupid amulet anymore. Don't you get that? It stopped being about the amulet the minute you took it off and let Angel taste your blood. She seethed, obviously knowing a lot more than the watered-down version I gave Gabriel. Gabriel's eyes snapped to me for confirmation, but I didn't have the nerve to face him. Not with all my lies and dirty laundry dangling so freely in front of everyone. I didn't let him taste my blood. It just happened, I said quietly, without meeting anyone's eyes. And how do you know about that anyway? You need to be less concerned about what I know, and more concerned about what the Dark Legion knows.
The Dark Legion?
Dominic narrowed his eyes at her.
What exactly does the Dark Legion have to do with any of this?
They know about Gemma, answered Tessa, her expression somber.
They know everything.
So Angel has some kind of sick obsession with my blood and told all his little friends about it. Big deal. It doesn't change anything, I insisted.
It changes everything.
Why? What difference does it make? I continued, refusing to back away from my mounting pile of denial. I'm still going to take him out, and anyone else he sends my way, and then all of this will go away. Everything will go back to normal.
No, Gemma, it won't.
Her eyes squeezed shut as though trying to stave off a migraine.
He knows what you are now. They all do. You've put something in motion that you can't undo.
Gabriel's eyebrows drew together. He heard that too. What do you mean he knows what I am?
I think you know what I mean, she said woefully.
The hell I do! What are you talking about? I demanded. What aren't you telling me, huh? What am I? I shouted, gripping the edge of the sofa as something primal took over inside me.
I'm sure Tessa misspoke, said Gabriel, his eyes bouncing between me and my sister as he waited for her to confirm it.
Something told me he'd be waiting around until the next ice age. Clearly, I wasn't the only one left out of the loop. Oh, she only gave you half the story, too? Well, here, I'll catch you up, I said to Gabriel with mock spunk. It turns out that my blood is some kind of revenant elixir that keeps them from being vanquished, and apparently Tessa knows why that is.
Gemma,
said Gabriel, looking at me like I was a silly kid playing make-believe.
There is nothing in existence that can protect a revenant from being vanquished.
Yes, nothing, except her blood, answered Dominic. We've already tested it every which way, and the results are always the same.
An array of emotion flickered across Gabriel's eyes. Confusion, concern, horror. and it only prompted my heart to beat faster and my anger to intensify. There you have it. So, what's the truth, Tessa? I glared over at her with more conviction than a congregation of the Lord's most devout. What's wrong with my blood? What am I?
It's not just about you, Gemma. It's our entire bloodline, she said, taking a purposeful step towards me. The Morningstar bloodline, that is.
Morningstar? As in Jacqueline Morningstar? Our mother?
I verified because, well, I wasn't sure of anything anymore.
She dipped her head in a nod and then took the seat beside me on the sofa.
The Morningstar bloodline is not like other descendant bloodlines. We descend from a very powerful angel, Gemma, the first ever to be created, and the first ever to fall.
That's not possible, interrupted Dominic. That bloodline doesn't exist. It's just a bunch of hogwash they put in the books to make their insignificant prophecies sound factual.
It is possible, and it does exist, said Tessa emphatically.
You probably shouldn't talk about things you have no actual clue about.
Is that so? Jeered Dominic.
She looked at him as though he were miles beneath her.
The Morningstar bloodline is the single most powerful bloodline known to our kind. Do you really think they would share something like that with someone like you? She asked with venomous contempt. Think about it.
He appeared to be turning it around in his brain.
The Order's been protecting the bloodline from the moment it was created, and for good reason. They had to make sure the balance never tipped in the wrong direction, that the Dark Legion never found out about it,
explained Tessa, her eyes locked on mine now.
That's why our mates are chosen for us, why we're bred like cattle, to keep his blood contained, she said,
and then glanced away, her eyes going to some faraway place.
And it's worked fine. Until now.
Until now? I struggled to swallow the ball that was throttling me at the back of my throat. It was taunting me with nightmares and screaming out truths I wasn't ready to hear.
They've always known there would come a day when a daughter of the heavens would be born in his favor, and she would be the key to unlocking the gates.
Gates? What gates? I shook my head in confusion.
You aren't seriously implying that she's the one in the prophecy, flouted Dominic. The daughter of Hades?
The daughter of who? I exchanged looks with Gabriel, who stood as silent as a sentinel. What prophecy? What's he talking about? None of this is making any sense, I shouted frantically.
Try to keep up, Angel, will you?
I jumped up from the sofa, unable to contain the adrenaline shooting through my veins. Go to hell, Dominic!
Well, that's ironic. Enough, Dominic!
Gabriel's voice boomed through the room like a judge's gavel. Rubbing my temples, I tried to focus on what they were telling me. Morningstar bloodline, the first angel, daughter of Hades. I couldn't seem to string a set of cohesive thoughts together to save my life.
Don't understand. Someone needs to start talking plain English because I'm about to lose it, I said, bouncing looks between the three of them. Here, let me.
Dominic leaned forward with a smirk, his eyes locked on mine like a nuclear missile locked on its target.
She's saying you're a descendant of Lucifer, love.
Lucifer? My eyes bugged out wildly, threatening to pop from the surge of blood that shot to my head. As in, the devil? There was no way I'd heard him right.
As in heaven's first and most powerful angel,
clarified Tessa.
Semantics,
said Dominic, chuckling. I looked over at Gabriel, desperate for him to rebuke this entire conversation, to put the two of them firmly back in their place. But he just stood there in silence, his lips pulled together in a telling line of inability. I think I'm going to be sick. I sat back down on the sofa and cradled my head in my hands, trying to stop the world from spinning its vicious web around me. His blood is dormant in me as it was in Mom and her mother before her. But you're different, Gemma. You've always been different.
No.
It was the only word I could speak. The Morningstar bloodline is dominant in you. It's always been dominant, and I've spent my entire life trying to protect you from that truth. Just like Mom and Dad did before me.
No! Stop it! Don't talk about them!
I couldn't hear this. I couldn't hear any of it. It was too much to take in. She was shattering my world with her words, dropping bombs over the only life I knew and annihilating any semblance of hope I had for a future.
Why are you doing this to me, Tessa? Why are you saying these things?
You have to hear this, Gemma. It's time you knew the truth. The whole truth. There was no comfort in her words, no softness in her voice. Mom didn't just leave us. She died protecting your secret, Gemma. And I think Dad did, too. He left the Order for a reason, and it wasn't just because he didn't want this life for you. He had to keep the truth from them, because if they ever found out, they would have killed you. My head was spinning so far out of control that I could barely sit upright on the couch.
I think she's heard enough, said Gabriel, running a hand over the length of his face. She needs time to process this.
How much time do you figure she needs? Said Dominic sardonically.
An hour? Maybe two? Let's play it safe and give her three, just in case. I'm sure she'll be fine then.
We need to go to the council and figure out our next move, said Gabriel to Tessa. Angel obviously tipped off the Dark Legion. They need to be made aware of the threat against her.
You still don't get it, do you, brother?
Dominic shook his head at Gabriel.
They're going to kill her.
Yes, and that's precisely why we need to go to the council. If the Dark Legion is after her...
He's not talking about the Dark Legion, whispered Tessa.
Then who is he talking about?
Snapped Gabriel. Tessa and Dominic exchanged looks as a clap of thunder exploded outside the house. Apparently, they were the only two who were still on the same page.
The Order, answered Tessa.
He's talking about the Order.
36. No way out. The storm tightened its grip over us, pelting rain against the glass like bullets spraying down from heaven. Bullets that were undoubtedly meant for me.
Why would the Order want me dead? I thought they were the good guys. I thought they were supposed to protect me.
My head was spinning around information like a wheel of misfortune, and every prize I landed on was another bomb going off in my life.
They are the good guys, said Gabriel firmly.
He believed it with every cell in his body. It was engraved in him. Right there in his DNA.
Sure, they're the good guys, until they aren't, added Dominic cryptically. It's quite conditional.
What does that mean? You're not making any sense.
It means you're a weapon, Angel. Possibly the most dangerous weapon in existence.
Tessa gave him a surly look and then turned back to me.
Your blood is like a key, Gemma. And that key can open the doors and unravel everything good they've worked to protect and everything bad they've locked away.
So they're just going to kill me because of some ancient crap written ages ago by God knows who? Since when can blood open up doors anyway?
I shouted, grasping at straws.
We both know that temptress blood of yours can do a lot of things, reminded Dominic.
So that's it? Shoot first, ask questions later? Don't I get to defend myself? Don't I get to plead my case?
If what your sister is saying is correct, your blood is prophesied to bring on the end of days, love, to unleash Lucifer and open the very gates of hell. Permitting you to live means the Order is willing to risk the end of the world, which I assure you they are not. Duty first, remember.
Dominic took a swig of his drink and cocked his head over at Gabriel.
Tell us, brother, what are you going to do when you get the order to terminate her? Are you going to be a good little soldier and do as you're told?
Gabriel's back stiffened.
No one is killing anyone, said Tessa, as though she had any actual control over the situation.
She said it with so much conviction that I almost believed her.
All we have to do is find a way to bring down the Dark Legion, and I'll worry about the Council later, if it comes to that.
If,
scoffed Dominic.
If the Dark Legion's already positioned themselves, as you say, it's only a matter of time before the Council catches on. And that's if they haven't already. I wouldn't be the slightest bit surprised if they already know exactly what's going on.
You're not helping,
scolded Gabriel upon noticing my horrified expression.
I beg to differ. I think I'm the only one helping here. She ought to know the truth and be prepared for the worst of it.
Dominic turned his attention to Tessa.
What makes you so certain they aren't already fully aware of the circumstances? That they're not conducting inquiries into her blood as we speak?
I would know it if they were, insisted Tessa. Gemma would have had to have given them blood. We would have heard something by now.
Oh, yes, because the Council is certainly known for their outstanding open-book policies, mocked Dominic.
Tessa said something back to him, but I wasn't paying attention anymore. All of my thoughts folded inward, into my own despair, my fear, into the weighty betrayal that was dangling right in front of my eyes in plain sight.
That's preposterous,
scoffed Dominic, glaring at Tessa.
Uncle Carl asked for a sample.
My voice was so low I wasn't even sure I'd said the words aloud.
What makes you the expert?
Retorted Tessa, glaring right back at him.
Gemma?
Gabriel called my name through the back-and-forth bickering between my sister and Dominic.
A sample of what?
The room fell silent. My blood.
Damn it, Angel! Tell me you didn't give it to him!
I didn't know!
When did you give it to him? Asked Tessa, and then turned to Gabriel as the two of them exchanged silent concerns.
A few weeks ago.
I looked up and met her eyes.
He said the tests were inconclusive because of the cloaking spell.
Which is why they've been pushing for invocation,
realized Gabriel as he folded his arms across his chest.
They need to break the spell in order to test your blood.
So they say, said Dominic, clearly untrusting of everything and everyone that came out of the order.
I'm so completely and utterly screwed, I realized, burying my head into my hands. I can't fight them. I can't run from them. I can't even hide from them. The Dark Legion's already coming for me, and even if by some miracle I manage to escape them, the Order will be waiting to finish the job just as soon as they get caught up on the truth.
Gabriel's eyes were pained.
Gemma.
And that's if they haven't already found out. Maybe the test is just some formality. You know, make sure they dot their I's and cross their T's. Maybe they know all about my demonic blood and are just getting ready to make their move.
You still have the amulet, reminded Dominic.
So freaking what? I shouted at him. My life is officially over, Dominic. I'm an abomination, like an actual curse destined to bring on the end of the world. That's me, Gemma Blackburn, the girl fated to bring on the freaking apocalypse.
It isn't over yet,
said Gabriel, but I wasn't even listening anymore. I could see Tessa's lips moving, spitting out words frantically, but none of them were registering. All I could think about was all the things I wanted to do, all the things I'd never get to become. And the worst part was, I wasn't giving it all up to do something bigger, something grander, like becoming a revered slayer and saving the world. I was destined to be the end of it. How was I supposed to live with that? I couldn't.
I wouldn't.
That wasn't who I was. I wouldn't allow it to be. I need to give myself up, I decided, rising from the sofa in a haze of my own despair and twisted reasoning. I have to tell the council the truth. They'll know what to do from there.
They'll kill you, love, said Dominic, as if I hadn't already realized that.
I'm not going to be the reason the world ends. Not again. Trace's alt had stopped something horrible from happening in the future, but that paled in comparison to what would happen if the Dark Legion got their hands on me. Their only earthly desire was to open the gates of hell and raise Lucifer from his tomb. And I was the damn key.
Again? What are you talking about, Angel?
Asked Dominic before turning to Gabriel and Tess for answers.
She's obviously lost it, he concluded.
I haven't lost it, Dominic.
You don't know what you're saying, love.
I know exactly what I'm saying. I'm not going to sit back and wait for the Dark Legion to find me and use me as a weapon against the world. I might have been born with the wrong blood in my veins, but I'm still in charge of myself. I get to decide who I am and what I do, not some ancient text written eons ago. And you know what? I looked at each of them as a quiet fire burned inside my heart. I choose to make my own destiny. I choose to make my life mean something. Even if that means I have to die to do it.
Look, said Tessa, cautiously moving closer to me as though I were a bomb that might go off if she got too close. We aren't making this decision tonight. There may be a way to get you out of this without shedding your blood for either side. Dad had the right idea. With the right spell.
The right spell, Tess? Come on.
I shook my head, knowing where she was going with this.
You can cloak me until there isn't anything left to cloak, but they still know who I am. Angel knows, and they won't stop until they get what they want. We both know this, and soon so will the Order.
Neither one said a word, their tongues unable to lift a lie heavy enough to bury the truth. Leave us, please, asked Tessa, not taking her eyes off me. I'm not going anywhere, said Dominic. This is my...
His protest abruptly died as Gabriel snatched his elbow and yanked him off the chair.
This is a $300 shirt,
barked Dominic, shaking his arm free from Gabriel's firm grip.
We'll be outside,
announced Gabriel, forcing Dominic to lead the way into the hall. Tessa stood silently for a few moments after the room cleared out, waiting for the sound of the front door opening and then closing shut before turning to me. Her eyes were glowing by the light of the fire, and if I didn't know any better, I would have thought there may have even been a tear in there. Tess, I wanted to reach out to her, but I wasn't sure how to make the connection. Squaring her shoulders, a steely look settled over her expression as she swallowed down any semblance of the sadness and fear she might have been feeling a moment ago, and then took a step towards me. I could see the determination in her eyes. The ferocity that told me she wasn't going to give up that easy.
This isn't over, Gemma. Not by a long shot, she said, her voice filled with firm resolution.
She was, after all, the girl with no quit in her, and she was as determined as ever to bring the fighter out of me, whether I wanted it or not. Then I hope you have a better plan than some cloaking spell, I said, folding my arms.
That's not a bad plan, she defended.
It's a horrible plan. Shaking my head, I matched her advance. I'm not going to spend the rest of my life on the run, hiding from everyone and everything I've ever known. It's no way to live, Tessa, and I won't live that way. She didn't argue the point, probably because she didn't have one.
If hiding you isn't an option, then there's only one thing left for us to do, she said. Her eyes meeting mine in a chilling way. A way that let me know something big was coming. Something astronomical. We go to hell and we kill Lucifer ourselves.
37. The Devil Inside. The rain fell in sheets outside Huntington Manor, pattering hard against the window as claps of thunder rattled through the glass. each explosion getting closer and closer, as though God's angels were closing in on us, ready and willing to take out heaven's number one enemy.
"We go to hell?" I repeated, certain that I'd heard her wrong.
"Are you out of your freaking mind?"
"Hear me out, Gemma." She put her hands on my shoulders and pulled me down to the sofa with her. "The Dark Legion wants to raise Lucifer from his tomb, and they need your blood to do it. So it's safe to say they aren't going to stop trying or stop coming after you as long as the possibility still exists."
"Right," I said, my lids fluttering nervously as I tried to follow along with everything she was saying.
"So the only way to stop them for good is to completely eliminate any possibility of ever freeing him."
"By eliminating him," I concluded.
"Exactly." Her eyes flared with determination. "Without a devil to raise, your blood is meaningless to them."
"Okay, but..." I shook my head, unable to work out the actual details.
"How exactly are we going to do this? I mean, it sounds great in theory, but is any of this even possible?"
"Everything is possible, Gemma."
"We can't just go to hell like it's some corner store, can we?" I didn't know much about other realms, but I was fairly certain that hell didn't have an open door policy.
"Well, no, not exactly.
And even if we did find a way to get in that didn't involve a permanent first-class ticket there, how exactly are we going to find him, kill him, and then get back out of there without getting caught and tortured for the rest of eternity?"
"I haven't worked out all the specifics yet."
"No shit," I said sarcastically.
"I just need a little more time to figure everything out," she said calmly, as though she were planning our spring break vacation and not a suicide trip to hell. "It's not hopeless, Gemma. Where there's a will, there's a way. We can do this as long as we stick together."
My heart softened at her sheer determination, at her absolute refusal to give up on me. I wasn't sure if she fully believed what she was saying was possible, but if she didn't, she wasn't letting on about it one bit.
"Are you in this with me?" she asked.
The more I thought about it, the less crazy and convoluted it sounded. She was right. Where there was a will, there would surely be a way. Besides, what did I have to lose anyway? I was going down one way or another, that much was certain. But I wasn't about to make it easy on them to take me out. I wasn't about to go gently into that good old night. They were going to have to take me down kicking and screaming, fists blazing until my very last breath. "I'm in." Gabriel drove Tessa back shortly after our talk, leaving me behind again with spiraling thoughts of an uncertain future, and Dominic. The latter rejoined me in the den as soon as the coast was clear, and quickly fixed himself another drink. He seemed rather preoccupied with pouring and stirring and mixing, never once bothering to look up at me. "You know it's bad when Dominic Huntington can't even face you." There was something tragically ironic about that. His eyes flicked to me, though the rest of his body didn't move an inch.
"I can face you just fine, love. I'm thinking."
"About what?"
"About how I'm going to get you out of this mess."
I waited for the punchline to what was surely a joke, but it never came.
"Did Tessa have anything useful to say?"
he asked as he picked up his drink and rejoined me by the fire. "She's working on something," I offered, aiming for vague. Tessa thought it would be best if we didn't share our plan with anyone just yet. The fewer people that knew about this, the less chance there was for someone getting in the way of it. Mostly, she just wanted to bore me to death with her sisterly pep talk. You know, keep your chin up, don't give up, it could be worse. She really should stick to her day job. Or night job, I should say. Okay, I was rambling now. Dominic looked at me skeptically.
"That's a long time to talk about perseverance."
"Well, she's a wordy girl." He didn't appear to be buying my story, but he also didn't bother pressing the issue. "Since when do you care anyway?
I thought you were getting out of town the first chance you got.
As did I.
He unfurled his arm along the back of the sofa. So, what changed? He blinked lazily, as though bored of the question.
I don't have an ulterior motive, if that's what you're thinking.
I didn't say you did.
I happen to like the world as it is. It's as simple as that.
He put his glass to his lips and took a sip of his drink, avoiding my gaze again. It just sounded like maybe there was more to it. I could have sworn I saw a slight shift in his detached countenance. Something vulnerable, almost afraid, seemed to be peeking through, and it was making me dangerously curious.
What is it that you're expecting to hear?
He asked dryly.
That I've developed some very marginal feelings for you? That I care about what happens to you?
Was he mocking me or confessing to me? I honestly couldn't tell. Well, no. I mean, do you? I cleared my throat. Care about what happens to me?
I doubt you want to know the answer to that.
My heart thumped loudly, warning me that I was walking on a very dangerous, thin line. You're probably right, I said quietly. I'm honestly not sure which answer would be worse.
That makes you nervous, doesn't it?
His gaze fell slowly, traveling down from my eyes to my chest, and then further down before turning back up the other way in a slow, even climb. My body prickled with unwanted heat. Not at all, I lied, though I'm not sure why I bothered. He could probably already hear my heart slamming against my chest.
I think you're lying to yourself again, Angel. I think I make you very nervous, and I think I know why.
You don't know anything, I said defensively, refusing to take his bait. His eyes darkened as he took me in, watching me like a hungry wolf eyeing its prey.
I must admit, though, it does make perfect sense now.
What does? I was almost too afraid to ask.
My attraction to you.
A devious smile crept across his lips.
All that darkness I sensed in you.
The heat quickly evaporated from my blood, leaving frigid ice in its place. Go to hell, Dominic! I shot up from the sofa and stormed out towards the nearest exit, desperate to get away from him and the painful reminder of what I really was. In an instant, he was behind me, his hands gripping my shoulders as he pulled me back against his chest. I gasped. His face dipped down into my hair, his arms circling around my chest as he held me firmly against him.
Stop running from what you are, Temptress.
His voice tickled my ear, and I shivered involuntarily. Let me go, Dominic!
You ought to learn to embrace it, to use it to your advantage.
I don't want to embrace it! I don't want to have anything to do with it! It's not who I am!
The blood doesn't lie, Angel, and I think deep down you know that as much as I do.
Something inside me cracked, splintered.
Perhaps one day you'll come to realize that. Possibly even welcome that side of yourself.
That's never going to happen, I promised blindly. My eyes filled up with tears, burning like acid raindrops that ached to fall free. I'd sooner rip my veins open and let every last drop of it pour out of me before I ever welcomed it into my life. The admission came out of me without my permission.
That would be a real pity, Angel.
More like a worldwide blessing. I pushed his arms apart and broke out of his hold, causing the tears I'd been trapping to simultaneously break free. Remembering the last time I cried in front of him, I kept my back to him and wiped them away before he could see.
I suppose it's a matter of perspective, he said calmly. It doesn't have to be a bad thing, Angel. None of this does.
I spun on him, completely horrified. How could you see it any other way, Dominic? How could anyone? I'm as damned could get. Anyone with eyes can see that. Anyone decent, that is.
My thoughts immediately went to Trace. He had no idea what was going on. No clue about what I really was. What would he think when he learned the truth? That I was nothing more than